Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you have your Bible, stand to your feet and turn with me to John, the 8th chapter. We're going to read verses 31 through 36. John, the 8th chapter. If you do not have your Bible, they should have it on the screens where you can follow along. Maybe you don't have your device with you, or maybe you don't have the Bible app on your device in which you need to repent and make things right immediately. If you got the Facebook app but you don't have the Bible app, are you really a Christian, right? I don't know. That's a joke, but it's a serious joke. It's one of those jokes that's like, I'm kidding, but I'm not really kidding. I'm just kind of kidding. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" But Jesus answered them. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Let's read that verse together one more time, every voice. Verse 36. "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you made a way for us to be free indeed through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray for everything that is holding us back and everything that we might be holding on to that is keeping us from total freedom. And I pray that it would be gone and dissolved today by faith and by trust in the Word of God. And Lord, I ask that you would empty me of myself and allow me to fill your people's hearts with truth and with the reality of freedom. Holy Spirit, have your way. Do whatever you want to do. We submit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Last month, the month of January, which lasted about 483 days. Am I the only one that January feels like it's always the longest month of the entire year? But then once February hits, there's only 28 days in February, and it just kind of flies by. And next thing you know, like, you're going to wake up tomorrow, and it's going to be March, right? And then all of a sudden, you're going to be going on vacation. Then it's going to be Thanksgiving. Then it's going to be Christmas, and then we'll have to endure January all over again. And so that's just kind of how life feels to me sometimes. But last month, the Lord really laid it upon my heart that we would talk about vision, from vision to victory. And we had 5 weeks in January that we talked about vision, and it was such an amazing journey. And I hope that you're continuing to seek God for vision in your life, because I want to remind you, where there is no vision, people perish. People go backwards. So if you're not getting vision from God for your life, you're going to start to revert instead of going forward towards who he has called you to be and what he's called you to do. So we want to be people of vision. But through prayer, the Lord led me to this passage. And this is what we're going to talk about during the month of February. We're going to talk about free indeed. I want to see God's people live in the freedom that Jesus Christ purchased on the cross. I'm tired of seeing Christians bound to fear and bound to insecurity and bound to worry and bound to doubt, which we talked about last week, and bound to addictions and vices and thinking, I just don't know if I can ever stop doing this or stop being this or stop living this way. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, we should not return again to the yoke of slavery. I want you to know there is nothing that you cannot be free from. You might think it's run in my family for generations, or I've always struggled with this, so I'll always struggle with it. But I'm telling you today, you can be free indeed if the Son makes you free. Listen, you can't make yourself free. If you could, you would have already done it. But if the Son of God, Jesus Christ, makes you free, you shall be free. And let me tell you this, I don't subscribe to the thought or to the plan that he made some free and some are not meant to be free. I believe that Jesus loved the world and God loved us so much that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but can have everlasting life. And you can be free. So our title for this series is Free Indeed. The word indeed, I love that. It's in there twice. He says, you shall be my disciples indeed. He says, you shall be free indeed. That word indeed means in reality. Not just I think I'm free, but I really am free. I'm truly free. I'm totally free. I don't just say I'm free. I actually live like I'm free. I don't just believe that one day when I get to heaven, I will actually be free. No, you can be free right here on the earth because there is nothing that God cannot eliminate and heal in your life. You can live in freedom. Now, there's a lot of people that think they're free. Actually, there's a lot of people that want you to think that they're free. Or there's a lot of people that you want them to think that you're free. There's a lot of people that hope to be free. There's a lot of people that want to be free. But I've come to find out and realize there's actually not a lot of people that are actually living free. There's a lot of people, even in the church, that are still bound. Bound to lust, bound to greed, bound to fear, bound to doubt, bound to their past, bound to who they think somebody else wants them to be, bound to things that they have done or things that they wish that they had done. There's not a lot of people that are actually living free. And that's why this passage, it stuck out to me so much where Jesus says, the truth shall make you free. He was talking to people who believed in him. Go back to verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, he wasn't talking to people that said, I don't believe in you, you're not truly the Son of God. They actually had put their faith and put their trust in him. That's where it says they believed in him. It's the same root word as faith in the Greek language, and it literally means they trusted him with their life. They believed in him. They were like, okay, I believe you're the Son of God. And he says, guess what? If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they got a little upset about it. He's saying, basically, what he's telling them is, you believe in me, but you still need to be free. And I think there's a lot of people that think that just because they believe in Jesus and they show up to church, they're free. Or they want everybody else to think they're free, but they really know that they're not free on the inside. And this angered these people. How do I know it angered them? Listen to their response. They said, we are Abraham's children. How can you say that we are not free? We've never been in bondage to anybody. They got mad. And I think that maybe there's some feathers that are getting ruffled here today when I tell you, yeah, you believe in Jesus, but guess what? Even the demons believe and tremble. That's what the book of James says. Belief is one thing. Belief is the starting point. You cannot start a journey with God without first believing in him. But everything is not based just upon belief. There's action that has to follow through with it. And he said, you believe, but guess what? You're still not free. And we've got to stop subscribing to the thought that just because we believe in Jesus, then everything is fine. He's saying, no, you're still not free. And they, you know, we might get our feathers ruffled and say, I'm a Christian. What are you talking about? I'm not free. I'm an American. I've always been free. You know, I told that teacher lady the only three letters I need to know is U, S, and A, right? Like, I am free. What are you talking about? Like, I've never been a slave to anybody. Right? That's what they said. They immediately became religious. They immediately reverted back to the old way of doing things when Jesus said, hey, you will be free. They're like, whoa, wait a second. I am free. And he's saying, no, you're not. Yeah. Because you see, Jesus was saying, basically, I'm not talking about physical bondage. Right. I'm talking about spiritual bondage. That's why he goes on to say, anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Where does sin manifest itself is on the inside. Not just on the outside. And he's saying, you are not bound naturally. I get that. No, you're bound spiritually. Yeah. Things that are binding you and restricting you from being who Jesus Christ came to set you free from being. And I want you to get this today because I think that we're more like these people that Jesus is talking to than we think that we are. Because he says, you will be free. And they go, what are you talking about? We are free. Immediately when preachers or pastors start talking about freedom, everybody goes, I am free. What are you talking about? Ain't no chains holding me, brother. I'm in church. I am saved. I am delivered. I believe in Jesus. I know that the blood has covered everything. And Jesus goes, no, you guys aren't getting it. There is still freedom that needs to take place in your life. And I want you to get this today. You will never be free by acting perfect. I think that we have this idea that if we can fool everybody else, then maybe we'll actually be free. As long as your pride is present, your bondage will be too. Because pride is bondage in and of itself. And as long as you think, I don't have any need of freedom. If you've already checked out on this message today because you're thinking, well, I'm not addicted to pornography, or I don't have an alcohol problem, or I'm not dealing with this or dealing with that. The book of John, 1 John says, if any of you say you don't have any sin, you're a liar. Okay, so we all have need of freedom. Why? Because we all wake up every single morning with an Adamic nature that has a desire to do what is wrong. But thankfully, the mercies of God are new every single morning when we wake up, and He will be there to help us and to become more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. But as long as your pride is present, your bondage will be too. And this is revealed in how the people were talking to Jesus when they responded, what do you mean we're not free? They got offended. There was pride. You're insulting our freedom. You may believe in Him. You may try to do your best deep down to be a good person. But deep down, you know that you know that you know there are things that you're still not free from. I know there are things that I'm still working to get free from. Oh my goodness, did the pastor just say that? Absolutely. Because as long as my pride is present, my bondage will be too. And we have got to understand that there are things in our life that are hindering us and holding us back from being who God called us to be. And I want you to see this. It may get uglier before it gets better. There may be some things that you've got to work through. There may be some things that you've got to get through. And you may have to battle your pride. You may have to battle your religiosity. But if you let Him, He will help you become free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. I quoted it. A portion of it earlier. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, why would Paul tell us to stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free? I believe it's because freedom must be contended for. Freedom is not just a one-time experience. We have this idea of I got prayed for in the altar for this problem and therefore I'm set free. No, he said once you've been set free, you need to contend for that freedom. You need to stand fast in that freedom. Don't go backwards to who you used to be. Because if you aren't careful, once you've been set free, you will find yourself going back into old habits, back into poor decisions, back into a lifestyle of sin. You have got to preserve and contend with the help of God for the freedom that He has already given you. It's like this. America didn't stop fighting for freedom after the Revolutionary War. Well, we beat England, therefore we're free and we're always going to be free. No, freedom, you can ask someone like Pastor Lauren, who spent over 30 years of his life serving our country in the Navy. I know Brother Jim served as well. I'm sure there are others here that you served or you have family members. Freedom is not free. It must be contended for. It must be protected and it must be fought. But our problem as believers is we think Jesus did a work on the cross thousands of years ago and I got set free from one time, so now I'm free. But if you're living in bondage, you're not free. You have got to stand fast in the freedom that He has provided for you. The enemy will use your own weakness against you to trick you into thinking you were never really free to begin with. It wasn't real freedom because you came back to the old ways, so apparently that wasn't real, so why would you even try that way again, right? Or he'll make you think that you're not strong enough to make it. You can't do it. The Bible would not instruct you to do something that God will not empower you to do. And God said, stand fast in liberty that He has provided for you, that you can adhere to His word. And I want you to get this also today. Freedom is not a one-time encounter. We think that freedom is a moment where, you know, the chains fell off. Listen, that is you being saved, okay? That is not necessarily you being free, okay? Here's what I mean by that. If you, God forbid, had a terrible car accident and someone like my brother-in-law, Jacob, who works for DAS right down the road, they showed up on the scene and you were trapped in the car. And you were pinned under crushed metal and, you know, you were fighting for your life. Once they got you out of the car, you're saved from the car accident, but you're not totally well yet. You might need to go to the hospital and get some attention. You might have to go through rehab. So you got saved from the car accident, but you haven't totally been made well yet. And that's what the journey of walking with God is we get saved from our sin. The destruction is no longer there, but now we have to learn how to walk out our own salvation in fear and trembling and to conform more and more into the image that Christ has set you free. Now, I'm not saying you can't be set free in an instant. I've seen with my own eyes God move in people's lives. I've seen people set free from homosexuality, from alcoholism. I've seen people healed. I've seen people delivered. I've seen liars be set free in just a second from lying. And it's not that they will never struggle with it again, but the power of it is broken off of their life in that moment. But it's not always that quick. Sometimes it's a journey. Sometimes it's a step-by-step process. In fact, if you look up the word sanctification in the Greek, it literally means the process of becoming holy. Amen. That as you walk step-by-step, as you walk in the Holy Spirit and you're not fulfilling the lust of your flesh, you're becoming more and more set apart to the image of God and who He called you and created you to be. So sometimes it's a step-by-step process. And I want you to look at what Jesus said more closely. Then Jesus, in verse 31, back in John chapter 8, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, I want to stop just for a second. The word if is a conjunction word that is based upon the conditions that you must follow through with in order to benefit from the following statement. Yeah. So here's what I mean by that. You aren't made free by default. You are free if you submit to the conditions placed upon your life by Jesus. Okay? So he says, if you do what? If you abide in my word. What would abide? That means to remain. If you continue in. It's a continual process of walking with him. If you continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what is Jesus teaching? He's saying if you want to be free and you want to stay free, then you're going to have to continue in my word. You're going to have to remain there. Listen to this. Some of your issues could be resolved simply by reading the Bible every day. Amen. I know that's too simple for some of us to understand. I don't have time to read the Bible. Well, you had time to look at the news this morning. You had time to scroll Facebook. You had time to work on your motorcycle. You had time to do this. You had time to do that. Listen, if you want to be free, then you're going to have to do what the Bible tells you to do to get free. Because if you could set yourself free, you already would have done it a long time ago. But there are some things that are holding on to you and you're holding on to that could be resolved simply by being willing to open up this book and spend time, not just reading it, but applying it to your life. Some of your issues would be resolved simply by unlocking the power that is in the Word of God. He says, you'll be my disciples indeed. I want to talk about this for a moment because the idea of being a disciple, sadly, has drifted away from the American church. We're Christians, not disciples, right? Christians are actually what other people call disciples, okay? We didn't coin the phrase Christian. In fact, unbelievers looked at people who were believers, who Jesus would call disciples, and they said they're Christians, they're little Christ, they're little anointed ones, okay? But Jesus called disciples, and he said, you'll be my disciples indeed. But the reason that we don't like the idea of disciple is because the word disciple and the word discipline come from the same root. And to be a disciple, you have to be willing to be disciplined. And we don't want discipline in our life. We don't want the Lord, and you can't call him Lord if you tell him no. Because the moment you tell him no, he's no longer Lord. You took control. You're the Lord of your life at that moment. And the reason we don't want to be disciples, you see, Christians are just people that have been saved, right? That's what we think. And that's good. I'm not against the terminology Christian. But what I'm saying is we have got to be okay with being disciples, meaning we're okay with being disciplined by our Lord. He's our master. He's not just your savior. He's not just your friend. He's also the Lord of your life. When you decide, I want to be a disciple, it takes discipline. Here's what that means. Discipline takes waking up early enough to spend time with God before you go to work. If you want to be free, that's what it's going to take. Yeah. What do you want the most? Would you rather be free? Or would you rather be comfortable? Would you rather be free? Or would you rather be happy? You can only truly be happy in freedom, but we trick ourselves into thinking that we're happier when we fill our lives with things that are actually dragging us down and not building us up. But the Word of God will build you up. It'll build up your faith. It'll build up your confidence. It'll build up your knowledge of the truth and your knowledge of who Jesus is, and it will actually make you free. But listen, Jesus didn't call us to easy. He called us to freedom. And sometimes freedom isn't always easy. So are you willing to let go of what's binding you? You know, back in the day, you've probably heard this before, the way that merchants would capture monkeys to go take them and sell them places, these merchants would travel to Africa and they would catch hundreds or thousands of monkeys, and then they would take them and they would sell them as exotic pets. Do you know how they would catch those monkeys? They'd take a gourd, they'd drill a hole in it, and they would chain the gourd to the ground, and then they would put a morsel, something that the monkey would want, inside of the gourd, that it was the perfect size that the monkey could get their hand in the gourd, but once they clenched the thing inside, they couldn't fit their fist back out, because you can slide it out with nothing on your hand, but once you grab hold of it, it fills your fist up and you can't get it out. And the monkey would not let go of the treat on the inside of the gourd, and that's what got them captured. They could have been free at any time. They could have let go of it and gone away, but they didn't. They were so focused on getting what was inside of that gourd that all of a sudden a merchant would come up behind them, put a bag over their head, and then they'd be, you know, on a ship somewhere else and be somebody's pet before they knew it. Now, what am I saying by that? If Facebook is making you compare yourself to other people and become insecure and fearful and anxious, you've got your hand in a gourd around a nut that you will not let go of, and it is holding you and it's binding you, and you think that it's making you happy, but really it's making you not free. You're bound to it. If the news makes you frustrated and depressed every time you pull it up. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen with China? What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? Oh my goodness, there was another shooting. And you're always fearful. You're always dreading. You don't even know if you want to go to Walmart because you're worried that something bad's going to happen. Listen, that's not living free. Okay? If food is making you unhealthy and lethargic and depressed, then you're not free. Okay? If football, all right, this is getting personal now, okay? If football's a god to you and it's making you be a bad husband and a bad father, then you're not free. If the love of money is leading you to evil actions or to cheat or to spend more time at work than you do with your family, then you have need of some freedom in your life. If anything is causing you to be bound, then I implore you, for your sake, not for mine, let go of it. Yeah. I don't want you, listen, I want you to be free, yeah, but I want you to be free for you, not for me. I want you to know what it's like to experience the Son making you free and you being free indeed. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about believing in God. I'm talking about having freedom. Talking about realizing that there are some things that we think have a hold of us, but really we have a hold of them. That's right. That's why I use those specific examples. Facebook. You could let go of Facebook tomorrow, and it would bring a lot of freedom in your life. I'm not saying you'll go to hell if you keep Facebook. What I'm saying is you won't be as free as you could be. And I'm not listen, some people can have Facebook and be free. That's why Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. So is it helpful? Is it beneficial? Is it hindering my freedom? Is it holding me back? So here's the thing about freedom, though. It's going to cost you. Why? Because it will require discipline. But the benefits will always outweigh the sacrifices. You think, oh, I don't know if I could go without this. I don't know if I could do without that in my life. Try it. Try it. It's just like Daniel, when he was in a pagan kingdom, they brought all the delicacies of the king to him, and he said, we're not going to eat that. In fact, let's do this. Let's have a test. Let your people eat that. We'll eat just grain and just vegetables and test us at the end. You know what the Bible says? They were 10 times better than the other people. Their countenance was better. They were healthier. Why? Because they understood, I have access to that, but that's not going to be beneficial to me. And anything that is going to hinder your freedom is not worth having in your life. Because listen to this. When you aren't free, you can't be fruitful. And what does God want more than anything but his people to be fruitful? In fact, Jesus said, if you don't bear fruit, I'll cut you off and I'll cast you away. His goal is for us to be fruitful. But you can't be fruitful if you're not free. I want to share with you some antonyms for the word freedom. And this is how you live if you aren't living in freedom. This is the opposite of freedom. You ready? Impotence. Impotence is the inability to take effective action or helplessness. So when you're not free, you are literally submitting yourself to the inability to take effective action. And you are rendering yourself helpless. Weakness, imprisonment, restriction, captivity, confinement, limitation. Are you just tired of being limited? Just feeling like I can't actually be everything that I'm supposed to be? Incarceration, enchainment. But the same people said, what are you talking about? We've never been in bondage to anybody. He wasn't talking about physical bondage. If in your heart you're limited, you're confined, you're incarcerated, you're chained up, you're weak, you're restricted, you're unable to take effective action, then you're not free the way that you think that you're free. And that's not God's will for your life. He wants something better for you. He wants you to walk in freedom. So much so that he provided the freedom that you need by way of his son. You don't even have to pay for the freedom yourself. Commit yourself to freedom. Choose. 2023 is the year I'm walking in freedom. I'm no longer going to be a slave to fear. I'm no longer going to waver in doubt. I'm not going to be bound by addiction. I'm not going to be held back by my own foolish affections. I will not subscribe to the thought of weakness or inability in my life, but I'm walking in freedom. Because my Savior made a way for me to be free, not just in name only, but in deed. We got to stop saying, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, when we're not really free. As long as your pride is present, your bondage will be too. The first step to freedom is admission. Admitting, I need help. You may say, Spencer, I want freedom. I desire to live like you're talking about. How do I do it? I'm going to keep it very simple for you. Two steps. Number one, get in the Word. What does he say? If you continue in my Word, or if you abide in my Word, you'll be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So number one, get in the Word. Read it every single day. Let it light your path. Let it control your life. We don't like that word control. We really don't. Well, we like it as long as we have it, right? It's like Pastor Frankie and I were talking when he was here a few weeks ago, and he said, I thought I wasn't a control freak until I found something I wasn't in control of. I'm not a control freak. You want to know if you're a controlled freak? Put yourself in the midst of a situation where you don't have any control and you'll find out how freaky you actually are. Let it light your path. Let it control your soul. We don't like it, but if our own control could produce our own freedom, we would have already be free. Let it control your life, because your control has obviously gotten you to where you are and you still need freedom. So why don't you just take your hands off of it. Good. Let God have his way with your life. Here's what you need to do. Don't just read the Word. Yield to the Word. So many people don't walk in the fullness of the power of the Word of God for a couple reasons. One, they're always looking for where it could be wrong. Or two, they don't actually let it have full course in their life. The book of Colossians, Paul wrote, and he said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. This is not Greek. I didn't go to seminary. This is just how I read that. Let the Word of God live like a king inside of your heart. Whatever it wants, it gets to have. If the Word of God wants me to eliminate something, I'll eliminate it. If the Word of God wants me to start doing something, I'll start doing it. Let it dwell richly inside of you. Whatever the Word wants, the Word is going to get, because the Word is determining and driving my life. Yield to His Word. Make a decision. I'm going to start every day by His Word. I want to say this. It's not legalism to read the Bible every day. I don't know where we let that foolish thought creep in. Well, I don't want to be legalistic. No, that is just an excuse to not be a disciple of the Word of God. Read the Word of God every day. There's nothing legalistic about it. It is life. It is health to your bones. It's sweeter than honey straight out of the comb. You can't live properly without the Word of God. So why would we call ourselves Christians and not adhere to this book that God has given us? We need the Word of God in our life. So subscribe, get in the Word of God. My dad always says it this way. He got it from somebody else, but he always says this. Get in the Word until the Word gets into you. And then once the Word gets into you, keep getting into the Word, so that then the Word can come out of you. Okay? Get in the Word until the Word gets into you. So that's number one. If you want to be free indeed, get in the Word. Number two, get intimate with truth. Okay? We have this idea that the truth is harsh and it's mean. No, the truth is what makes you free. And you may not like something that seems blunt and straight to the point. But I'll tell you this. If you needed to be free, okay, let's say you were, let's say you somehow, you went to another country and you got yourself incarcerated and you needed to be broke out and set free, you would not want the United States of America to send a group of cheerleaders to break you out of prison. Come on, buddy, you can do it. Just get up. You want some bad to the bone trained guys that are going to come in there and they don't care to kick tail and take names and break you out of there and get there. And in that moment, you're totally fine with straight to the point and blunt warriors that will get it done. But we want everybody to set us free by cheering us on. You know, you can do it. You can be free. No, you can't be free unless the Son makes you free. And you need some truth inside of your life. And why are we so afraid of truth? Because we are content with staying bound. And until you are fed up with being bound, you won't be ready for truth. But trust me, when you finally realize I'm in a mess and I need somebody to break me out, you won't mind a little bit of violence. You won't mind people being rough and being committed to their job and doing what it takes necessary. And I know that that may seem like a weird analogy to use, but that's how we live so often. We don't want anybody to come in and kick down doors and tell us the truth. We would rather people just kind of sugarcoat it and make us feel better about ourselves. And really what we want is we want them to make us comfortable in our prison instead of breaking us out of our prison. Until you come to the point where you're no longer comfortable with being in the prison, you'll stay in the prison. Because as long as you're comfortable with not being free, you'll stay not free. Yeah. It's time to get fed up with not being free. So get intimate with the truth. That's why Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth shall make you free. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So really what I'm saying is get to know Jesus. Okay? The word know, where he says you will know the truth and the truth shall make you free, is the word ginosko in the Greek. And it's the same word that when the angel appeared to Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus, and he was going to tell her, you shall conceive and bear forth a son and call him Jesus. And she goes, hang on. How can this be since I don't know a man? That's literally what she said. She didn't say, since I have not known a man. She said, since I don't know a man. Yeah. Now, she didn't mean she didn't have any male acquaintances, because she'd already met Joseph. So we know she at least knows one man, right? She's at least got relationship with one. She wasn't talking about a friendship. She was talking about intimacy. Yeah. She said, how can this happen when I have not been intimate with a man? And that's the same word that Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So what's he saying? You'll become intimate with the truth. See, there's a lot of people that are aware of the truth because they've gone to church their whole life. They've read the Bible through and through. But there's a difference between being aware of the truth and being intimate with the truth. And I want to encourage you, be people that are intimate with the truth. In fact, the book of Proverbs says it this way, buy the truth and don't sell it. Hold on to it with all that you have. Why? Because truth is access to freedom. You know the way to dispel any lie? Tell the truth. Truth immediately trumps a lie every single time. And so if there's a lie that you're believing inside of yourself that's causing you to not be free, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, I don't look good enough, I don't feel good enough, I'm not as talented as somebody else, I don't know as much about the Bible as somebody else, you need to be able to confront a lie with the truth. And until you can, you'll stay bound to the lie. There's a lot of people that are acquainted with the truth, but they're not intimate with the truth. So here's what I tell you. Get close to the truth. Let the truth have preeminence, in your life, and let the truth trump fear. Don't let lies live rent-free in your head. That's what we do so often, is the lies come in, and because we're not close and intimate with the truth, we just let them continue to be there. Listen, you can't quote what you don't know. That's why it goes back to get in the Word. When Jesus was in the desert and the enemy came and tempted him, and tried to get him to, you know, throw himself off a building, turn a stone into bread, I'll give you all this stuff. When he began to tempt him, what did Jesus say? It is written, it says. He didn't go, hang on just a second, let me Google what the Bible says. Yeah. He knew it in the moment. In fact, if you go to the book of Luke, right before Jesus was driven into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, he was in the synagogue, and the Bible says he stood up and he found the place where it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news." He knew where it was. And listen, he didn't have chapter and verse the way that we do. It's been broken down even easier to make access for us to know. Everybody knows what John 3:16 says, hopefully, right? This morning, I've been reading the Bible to the boys when they go down, the three boys, Judah, Bethel, and Bo. Last night, Boaz wanted John chapter 17. He had no idea what was in John 17. He just pulled one out of the hat, and thankfully, there was actually that chapter. You know what I mean? Like, you know, sometimes, like, there's the old thing of, like, the preacher on Sunday morning, he told the congregation, he said, "I want you to go home this afternoon and read Psalm chapter 152 and come back tonight. That's what I'm going to preach on." Okay? Everybody went home, came back for service. Y'all remember Sunday night service? They come back for Sunday night service, and the pastor goes, "How many of y'all read Psalm 152? Half the congregation raised their hand. He said, "Well, tonight I'm going to preach on lying." Because that's a lie, because there's only 150 chapters in the book of Psalms, right? But I've always wanted to do that. So y'all better be on, like, on ready, because I might do that to y'all. Like, if we have a Sunday night service, I might just be like, "Everybody go read Second Opinions this afternoon and come back, and I want to see what it has." No. But I'm trying to remember what I was talking about. Boaz. Oh, yeah. This morning, Bo asked me if we could read John 3:16 next time it was his turn for Bible reading. And I said, "Sure, bud." And he asked me, I'm trying to remember what he said. He asked me, like, "Is that where," it was like something from the Old Testament. Like, "Is that where, you know, David did this, or is that where Moses did this?" And he was asking for John 3:16. So obviously he has no idea what John 3:16 even says. But the importance of knowing the Word of God. Because when temptation comes, when the lie comes, when the doubt tries to creep in, you need to know the truth so that you can declare the truth. It equips you and it makes you ready. And that's why we've got to get in the Word. If you want to be free, get in the Word and realize the Word of God is a blessing. It's not a burden. And until you make that switch in your mind, "I have to read the Bible." No, you don't have to read the Bible. The Bible is a blessing. You don't have to pray. Prayer is a gift from God that we get access to Him. It may take discipline, but it's not something that you have to do. It's something that you get to do. Okay? So we've got to change our mindset. Don't let anything take the truth from you. Why? Because without the truth, you can't be free. You have to have the truth to be free. Would you stand to your feet with me today?